Hello, I'm Steve Wiggins, and this is podcast number 9 of the Sects and Violence in the Ancient World blog. My topic today is going to be fear and its place in religion. I'd like to begin with a story. When I was a teenager, I lived in a run-down house that had a usual perpetual kind of problem with vermin of various sorts getting inside. We were used to seeing insects of all descriptions, spiders, all sorts of things like that. Well, one night when I was sleeping, I noticed what I thought was a moth flapping around the nightlight in my room. We had a nightlight because the house had those old kinds of stairs that you pull down out of the attic you sometimes see in movies to get up to the upper floor, not a permanent set of steps, but a pull-down set, and they could be quite treacherous if there was no light on them, so we always had a night light at the top of those stairs so we could see our way down if we needed to descend to the restroom in the middle of the night. So as I woke up, I saw something flapping around the night light and assumed that it was a moth. I thought that it sounded a bit louder than your average moth, though, and as I started to look around, I realized that it wasn't flapping around the light at all, but it was actually a bat flying around the ceiling. Well, I was a little bit afraid of bats. Most people, I suppose, have a basic kind of fear of them. And so I immediately ducked under the covers in my bed, hoping that it would just go away. The window was open. It was August. I was hoping it would just fly out. Well, it was pretty warm, and after I was under the covers for just a few minutes, I had to stick my head out and see where things were, and unfortunately the bat had not gone. At this point, I could see it hanging on the foot of my bed. There was a little guardrail down at the bottom, a footrail for the bed, and there's where the bat was hanging. Well, I ducked back under the covers, and I vowed to myself that I was going to stay there the entire night and never come out. Well, my resolve melted pretty quickly because it was very hot and stuffy. Underneath a blanket or even just a sheet on a night like that, I couldn't breathe. So I finally came back out for air one more time to look around and see where things were. The bat was not on the foot of my bed. It was not flapping around the light anymore or around the ceiling. So I convinced myself that it was safe to re-establish myself as usual in bed because it must have flown out the window. As I laid down on the pillow, I felt a flapping behind my head. The bat had landed on my pillow, and I'd put my head directly on it, and I had this terrible, heart-sickening kind of feeling of this animal flapping its wings in desperation to get away, while I was busy, you know, I was trying to swim down to the very bottom of my bed, where I did end up staying under the covers for the rest of the night. The images that flashed through my mind during that little incident were ones that went back to my basic childhood fears. I grew up with the usual childhood fears of monsters and things like that, and I had dreams of turning into a vampire that night and all kinds of strange thoughts. And that got me to thinking about the origins of religion and how it ties in with our fear of monstrous creatures. I think most of us have a healthy fear of the unknown. We don't know really what is out there, and that kind of fear offers us the opportunity to try to deal with some of the basic issues that are associated with the origins of religion. As I look back at the data on my blog, seeing who uses what search terms to come to my site, I noticed that by far the most frequent search term that brings people to the sects and violence in the ancient world is loup garou. That is the French word for, or French phrase for, werewolf. Interestingly enough, one of my first posts in the blog was about the origins of werewolves, or a suggested origin for werewolves that goes back to the idea of lunar worship and lunacy and how all of that fits in together. That has, of course, led to a number of different posts that deal with various creatures of the night, various forms of the unknown, monstrous creatures. And that coincides nicely with the fact that when I am teaching my Introduction to Ancient Near Eastern Religions course at Rutgers, I always begin the course with a discussion of the origins of religion. Religion and religious origins are one of those unknown things, and it is very closely tied in with this concept of fear, and the fear particularly of the unknown. We're afraid as human beings of many different things. Obviously, we're afraid of anything that can harm us and might cause real problems for us. And when ancient people were trying to learn to cope with the world as they found it and how they found themselves in it, they realized that they also needed to have some sort of way of coping with those things out there that they were afraid of. And it's not surprising that when we start to get the earliest references about how to behave in the presence of the divine, the most usual response is fear. You should fear the gods, or God, singular or plural. Fear is always an appropriate response to the divine. If we stop to think about it, it makes perfectly good sense, because gods, by their very definition, are related to the various aspects of monstrosity that are often associated with your average B-movie monster, if you will. Gods are large, they are powerful, and they're not fully known. They're unpredictable. These characteristics of mixed forms between human beings and something else, and gods are something other than human beings, naturally suggest that they should be approached with caution and fear. And so it is not unusual that when we start finding evidence of religion in human development, we see that it is quite often cast in the form of fear. We can't see gods, we can't study them, we can't analyze them. We have no tangible method of understanding what a god really is. Indeed, it's one of the most difficult questions to try and answer in the history of religious studies. What is a deity, and what separates a deity from a human being? So these questions are not easily resolved. As I was looking at the origins of religion for this course over the last couple of years, I read a very interesting book that I wrote a post about on this blog a few weeks ago. It's a book entitled Faces in the Clouds by Stuart Guthrie. In this book, Guthrie suggests that religion may have its origin in our propensity to see faces or human forms where they don't really exist. This is a phenomenon known as matrixing, or sometimes it's called pareidolia. The concept is that we see, as human beings, patterns in the world around us. And we perceive patterns particularly when they are significant to us, if they pose a threat or a danger. And as human beings, one of the earliest lessons we learn in dealing with other people is that people are sometimes our most dangerous competitors in our own lives. And so we learn to be suspicious of other people, and it is to our evolutionary advantage to be able to find people where they are, rather than to perhaps miss somebody who might be hiding. Guthrie uses an image in his book, which is very familiar to me, the image of jogging in the dark. I sometimes do that myself. And when you do, you start to discover that just about anything that in the daylight becomes easily resolved into a mailbox or a young tree or even just some piece of architecture, in the dark can very easily be transposed in our minds into a human form. And our response when we see it is caution. We don't know the intent or the motivation behind that image that we are seeing. And so we as human beings have systematically rid the world, at least in the Western world, we've systematically rid the world of our large predators, and unless you're in some very remote locations, chances of being preyed upon by a wild animal are fairly rare. But after that, we still have the issue of dealing with other people. And even more so, what about people who potentially have the ability to change into animals, or animals that can change into people, shape-shifting forms? These ideas, which of course goes back to the whole werewolf story, are ones that are very deeply rooted in the human psyche. These fears of the human being, who is, in a sense, our only natural predator left, somehow being able to become a predator in animal form or in a way that gives them an unfair advantage over their victims. So fear is a very real part of that kind of mix. Now, I'm not saying that religion originates in the fear of monsters, but it certainly does seem to have something to do with a concern for self-preservation. So we're concerned about it because when we can't see or define the other, when we don't know what gods are or how they're going to operate, We get concerned about our own sense of mortality because anything that we cannot quantify or qualify may potentially lead to danger for us, and danger ultimately ending in death. All religions anywhere in the world are concerned with death. Death is a major issue that is associated with any religion. There's not a religion out there that doesn't address the issue. And so people, of course, are really concerned about what happens at the end of life. It's the ultimate unknown because nobody has ever been there to come back to tell us, despite what television documentaries may try to indicate. We simply just don't know what is out there beyond death. And so we look for ways to address this very real and very human concern. We find that as we address the ultimate unknown, we approach it with a sense of fear, and that fear is represented in many ways in our society. The belief in ghosts, for example, is nearly universal. No matter where we go in various cultures around the world, people are concerned about the dead who are not at rest, somebody who is not properly dead, somebody who comes back and is not like they used to be. These kind of concerns are closely tied to religion. As I have noted before in some of my posts, people believe, generally speaking, that ghosts are some form of spirit or some sort of element of a human being that is generally associated with religion. And so, when you get to the realm of spirits and spirituality, naturally you're impinging very closely on religion. So this belief about the dead and mortality and what it means to human beings is again an attempt to grasp with or grapple with these concepts of the unknown, because we're here reaching out to the very edges of human experience and human ability. And the appropriate response, of course, is fear. So when we think about all of these various issues that are associated with each other, gods, monsters, the unknown, death, we start to notice a pattern emerging, and that pattern is one where human beings are simply not in control of their own circumstances, and nothing is scarier than being out of control and heading into the unknown. A very common nightmare that I have, and I'm sure that I'm not alone in this, is when I'm sleeping, imagining that I'm driving, and as I'm driving, I suddenly can't control the car or I can't see where I'm going. And it's that frightening feeling in the pit of your stomach that you're about to smash into something at a high speed and you can't see what it is or where you're going and you can't control it. That terror of being out of control. That plays into our lives because we really know, I think, in a very deep level, that our sense of control over our own circumstances is an illusion. Human beings are at the whim of many different forces in nature and very many different forces in society as well. So we really don't have control over where we're going or what's happening to us. And when we stop to look at that, the thought is so frightening and so scary that fear is the immediate response. I don't know where the idea of gods came from. There are lots of different suggestions about where they could have originated. This idea might have come from in its earliest stages. But I do think that no matter where the deities arise in human thought, they're very closely associated with the unknown and very closely associated with various mixed forms, monstrous forms of creatures that are out there. Ancient creation myths tell the story of how gods created the world, and they're always having to fight dragons, these mixed forms of creatures that are not quite what we expect in human experience, but yet not quite the same as we might expect in the completely divine world where gods are exactly like people. And there is that basic difference between God and people, something that divides them from us, and we're not sure what exactly it is, other than the fact that they're more powerful than we are, and perhaps they live longer, or they have more strength, or they're wiser than we are, they're more intelligent. And ultimately, gods, it seems, are not likely to die. In the ancient world, they believed that gods could die. It's possible that a god could be killed by other gods or even by a monster. These ideas are actually very ancient. They're not simply 1920s, 1930s Hollywood. They're very old. So gods could actually die if they were caught up in conflict with other gods and were killed. But in general, gods were understood to be immortal. Unless something tragic happened, a god continued to live forever and ever. And people do not. And here's the basic disconnect that brings religion into sharper focus. People know that they are going to die, and we know that we are afraid of our own death, and we can't really conceive what it's like. So religion perhaps derives from a grasp at immortality. Again, another aspect that religion shares with these monsters, these creatures of the night from the movies, many of them are considered to be immortals, and that's a phrase that comes up in many different horror movies these days about either zombies or vampires or werewolves or whatever, that they don't die, they are immortal. Yes, like ancient gods, they can be killed through certain circumstances or certain techniques, but in general, unless something happens to them, they continue to live forever. And so our fear of this, our own deaths and how we face it and how we fail to grasp at immortality may help to account for the origins of religion in some respect as we try to think about the appropriate response to gods, which is to be afraid.